there for my brother when they died. He was there with me for my nephew. So it's most rewarding to understand that, to be able to bond with a friend, man, who got your back in any situation. It's the thing that Narcotic Anonymous does for me. It got my back. Even when I don't do things correctly, I make mistakes. I'm not perfect. You know, I'm going to come up short occasionally. But with Narcotic Anonymous, tell me that that too shall pass, that we can get over with that. And the next thing I know is that there's a lesson and there's a blessing in everything that I do. Either I'm going to extract something from it positive, or I'm going to extract something negative to it. But the bottom line is that I got to claim what's mine. If I do something that's ill, the consequences are mine. I can't sing the Do Me Wrong song. I got to take it like a man. And what I'm saying is that this program has allowed me to grow up to be the man that I am today. And what I try to do is to try to live on the principles that I understand, the dignity, and carry this program with respect. And that respect has come to me to understand that I respect everybody's recovery. No matter how much stupid stuff you do, or how much stupid stuff you say, or whatever, I still have to respect you. I have to respect you because I know I've been here long enough to see the transformation take over. I don't see any people come in just as dusty and greasy as a gas station mop and have changed. And have changed to be a blossoming flower. So I don't want to forsake anybody. So I think, and I try to tell this to my sponsees, man, respect everybody's recovery. You might not have to like everybody, but you got to respect their recovery, because it takes men and women to come in here and to suffer through their transition and to stay clean on a daily basis, man. So they need all the encouragement and all the support. And I try to, like, understand. I know one time I had a differences with my sponsor, and this guy helped me tremendously, taught me everything, made me go back to school, allowed me to do the things that I've been accustomed to doing. And I got mad at him because he chose, we used to work in the same organization, and he chose somebody over me. I said, how dare him? We've been together 40 years. How could you do that to me? But it wasn't the fact of him doing anything to me. I just perceived it that way. He had a job to do. And had he had hired me, they would have fired his ass. So, so I got resentments, but I carried that for a week. I said, I can't do this. I said, I got to apologize to this man for even thinking that. He did what he had to do. He stood by his guns, and he had taught me to do the same thing. But I had forgot. I had forgot just that quick, because it was something that was going to cost me some money. And I was putting all my focus on, I'm going to miss that $40,000 a year. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to have to go find me another job. I'm going to have to do that. But I had some skills. I had some skills to do some other things. So that wasn't a biggie. But the fact of it is that I got mad at him because of that decision that he had to make. But I apologized. I said a bigger man would apologize, and we would move on with our life. Today I don't have to work no more. I'm retired. And that's what I mean by it. There's a lesson and a blessing in everything. I'm fortunate I rumbled with the VA for over 30 years to get my disability. I suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. And if I don't go to meetings, I become violent and rage, because every time I look at the TV and they're talking about Iraq, it kicks up feelings in me, makes me violent. It carries me back to 1970. When I was in Vietnam in the war, in the same situation. So meetings for me is more than just going to meetings. It's therapy for the guy that I am, for what I've grown up to be. I'm able to manage that by coming to meetings on a regular basis. That's why I tell people I go to 3 and 4 meetings a day, because I need to manage. I need to manage my stress level. I need to manage my addiction. And I need to be around you folks who understand me. You know, I'm the kind of guy, I live in a nice neighborhood, got a nice house, and my grass and everything is manicured and all that. But I don't get along with my neighbors. And one of the reasons why I don't get along with my neighbors is because they're not in Narcotic Anonymous. And I'm serious. I wave at my neighbors and that's all. And I've been in my neighborhood 15 years and I don't even know my neighbor's name. I don't. Because if they're not in Narcotic Anonymous, I'm going to be feeling they're going to judge me because I got a nice Benz sitting in my driveway. You know, I mind my business. And I think they're going to try to get in my house and try to find out what I'm doing, who I work for. You know how nosy neighbors are, you know. That must be an indication I need to apologize. I'm going to take that back. About nosy neighbors. But you see how partial I become for Narcotic Anonymous. If I see anybody with the NA logo, immediately I'm in love with them. Because I know their struggles. And I know that the support mechanism is that we got to love. This is a we program. And I've learned that. I've learned that this is a we program. So we need to brace each brother and sisters. You know, coming up, and I need to be honest about this, I used to think that the white man was stepping down on me. And I think I might have had one white friend. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't that. It was the achievement of what society dictates and what society states. And going back in slavery, and I have never seen slavery. You know what I'm saying? I can feel it historically, but I have never been enslaved. I said my biggest enslavement was addiction. And y'all ain't had nothing to do with that. You know what I'm saying? Ain't had a damn thing to do with that. You had struggles with your own addiction. And I don't matter. It doesn't matter, because heroin and cocaine and crack and all that other stuff don't discriminate. It will tear your ass out the frame. It don't matter who you are, who your family members are. You could be President Bush or you could be anybody. All it wants to do is destroy you and allow you to self-destruct. So those things that I had to grow up with and get real with is the fact that I'm responsible for who I am. You know, with me and the good Lord guiding me, I can be the man that I was intended to be. Other than that, if I get caught up in what I should be by your standards, I'll come up short. I'll shortchange myself if I think that I shouldn't be as much as I am. Because man is only worthy of who he really is. And whatever you do, whatever you claim, you cannot claim to be a man if you're not taking care of your kids. If you don't provide food, clothing, and shelter for your kids, you're not really understanding manhood. Because that's what real men do. And even though you might not get along with your spouse, you still have to be responsible for your responsibility. It ain't about what she's doing, it's what I need to do for me. See, those programs, the program has taught me to do that. Even if me and my wife ain't getting along, I still got to provide and pay the mortgage. I can't be spiteful and say I'm not going to pay the mortgage because me and you ain't getting along. You know, that's one more time being a weak man. You know, I chose her and I said yes. So I got to be responsible for everything that covers that. You know, and I've learned that only through the program of Narcotic Anonymous. You know, I am truly a lover of Narcotic Anonymous. Make no mistake about it. Because all that I am today is a direct result. I used to tell people, you know, they see you driving good and doing all these things. I said, don't get mad at me getting mad at Narcotic Anonymous, because when I came in here, I was a 000. I ain't have shit. You know what I'm saying? So don't get mad at me. You know. And they used to say, it used to be a little psychiatric thing about saying that, you know, if you want what I got, you got to do what I do. And that's something that, you know, I understand very much. And the way that I have to stay clean, because them 22 years won't keep me clean tomorrow. And I'm glad I'm dumb enough to stay here and stay in the midst of meetings. Because you can get intellectual if you want to. You know, but when your mindset, see, because right here is where it's at. And you can't change that. Ain't nobody got no screws they can go in and do a little maneuvering and a little wiring and all that kind of stuff to make you forget your past. It's there for a reason. Dreams are there for a reason. To be in remembrance of me, who I am. When y'all look at me and think that, yeah, I'm such a nice guy. But when I go to sleep at night by myself, and whatever I come across in the course of that day, see, I could be in a meeting and hear a newcomer share, and I'll go home and have a dope fiend dream. Because the identity is there. I remember when I was a newcomer. You know, I remember how hard it was of pitching what was going to happen for the future of me. What was I going to be doing 20 years from now? I didn't think I would be living. I really didn't. Because I had done so much damage to my body. But one of the things I made mention of when I came into the program is the fact that I had to stop doing the self-destructive damaging things that I was doing when I drank and drove. I didn't care when I drank and drove. So when I stopped drinking the drug and I had to put one of those minutes down that was real terrible, and that was cigarettes. And I know I'm stepping on some people's toes. But you got to put them damn cigarettes down. And I'm one day at a time. You're right, one day at a time. But you got to put them down. Because as I've learned, I became a smoke preventer too when I got certified. And I found out that smoking kills 600,000 people a year, more than AIDS, drugs, and alcohol combined. So I'm just running off some stats, man, because I want you to feel the crunch. Because I stopped in 85. I smoked for 27 years. And one of the things that I had to do was the fact that I said, I'm not getting high no more. Why would I smoke cigarettes? That's going to kill me, you know. And even, you know what, you can stop smoking cigarettes and 20 years still come down with cancer. You know, it's about being honest, y'all. You know, a lot of people don't like hearing honesty, man, but I mean, it's the bottom line is that you can hear it, but you can cipher through the information, too, and check it out yourself. And a lot of us got to stop telling ourselves lies. We got to stop telling ourselves it's a good sensation for dragging on cigarettes. And look at the consequences, the same thing as using drugs. And they say cigarette smoking is the hardest addiction to kick. And it's the most simplest. But you know what? I found that the most thing that addicts try to stay away from is pain. See, we don't like the pain. That's why we become people who numb ourselves and sedate ourselves. But the bottom line is that pain don't last always. And I've learned, too, that pain lessens each day. You know, you feel excruciating pain because the body has a defense mechanism that goes into activity when you're in pain. So what I had to do is I had to understand that it's all right to pain if I'm painting for a purpose and some intent to be better off with my health. It's okay to pain, you know. So, I mean, it's a part of recovering cigarette smokers, you know, is what I am too. So Narcotic Anonymous helped me with that. So I'm saying if you use the same principles that you use in staying clean, you can use the same and stop smoking. And I'm saying that out of love from my heart because I've had some friends who died from cancer. And I said that I would not deny myself these issues anymore. I will speak out about them when I get the opportunity to. Because I know a lot of times people step on your toes in here. You can really feel it. And you go home and you think about it because this program gives you a conscience. And what that conscience is what you've been exposed to. So I'm exposing you to now. If you smoke, try to put them down. But I'm not going to diss you if you do smoke because my wife smokes. And I can't go in the house and tell her every time, put that damn cigarette down. I would not have any peace in my house. But the bottom line is that, you know, when we get ready to do certain things, we're doing. But when you don't hear the consequences to it, it might take it with minimum concern. But when you do hear it, when you get ready to, you'll do it. And I encourage you to try to do it. You know, but if you ain't ready, you ain't ready. But I know that recovery has taught me that I'm responsible for my recovery. I'm responsible for my health. So when I go to the hospital and the doctor tells me I got to lose weight, I got to lose weight, which I'm doing now. I'm on a diet to lose weight because I'm 55 years old and I'm trying to get me as much as I can out of this life. And the only way that I can do that is to be conscious of my health and do the right thing, try to get off sugar and all those kind of things. I'm saying that because this is a byproduct of recovery, is being able to take care of oneself. You're responsible for your health as well as your recovery. You know, no one in here is getting any younger. You know, we don't do that. And time waits for no one. You know, time is steadily moving on. While we're dreaming and hoping for something that we can change right now, we're hoping that it's going to drop out the sky and make us change. No, you got to put forth some effort to change. You know, my thing is going to meetings, trying to help somebody with no strings attached, And what I see in meetings is that I stay here because I have a lot of friends who coming out of jail, who just finally start giving drug uses up because of their health and stuff like that. And when I see them, I immediately step to them and let them know I'm offering a service to them. If they need me, I'm going to be there to help guide them in their recovery. And that brings me a lot of joy. That brings me a lot of joy when I see them celebrating 1 year, 2 years, you know what I'm saying, because of the assistance, because of the we concept, you know. And I think that basically, you know, if all of us stay here and do the things that is very simple, because I think that you cannot tell people to do things if you're not doing them yourself. I cannot share with my sponsees. If I don't never go to meetings, I can't tell my sponsees you need to go to meetings. They're going to say, Dad, but what about you? Why the hell you ain't going to meetings then? And then the relationship is just distorted, you know. What I try to do is to reprimand and be a living example.